Oh, good morning again. I went on a mission trip in middle school for the first time. I went to an Indian reservation with my youth group, and it was eye-opening, to say the least. I did not know that people lived differently than I did. We kind of get that way when we're of a certain age. And I just didn't know that things looked different. I didn't know that people didn't have food in their cabinets when they wanted to eat. They could just go and get them. I did not know that you didn't have a car in your driveway to just use whenever you wanted to. I didn't know that you didn't have school or multiple schools to pick from. I didn't know any of this. And it was really, really eye-opening for me to experience this. But what I remember the most about this trip wasn't necessarily the things I did. It was what my mom would say about me in the years to come. She would say that that trip changed my life. That when I came home from that trip, I started saying thank you for things that I needed, not necessarily wanted. I said thank you for groceries and just taking me anywhere. I had a perspective shift, maybe globally, but I kind of see it as more like a Jesus perspective shift. Steve asked me today, obviously he's gone. Steve's in California, hanging out with the family doing archery stuff. He asked me today to talk about Stephen. So I kind of knew the basic story of Stephen and pretty much knew where I was going to go with this sermon. It was going to be that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Because you guys have heard that probably a couple times in your life. And it's a good sermon. It's fantastic. And I was headed down that road. And then Wednesday, like 4 days ago Wednesday, everything kind of shifted. And I went in a whole different direction. So we're going to see where this goes today. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the people that are in the seats right here. Thank you for the grace that you pour out on us. Lord, I ask that you use my words to touch just one person. I ask that it's about you. Lord God, thank you. Amen. All right, so who is Stephen? Stephen is a guy who is anything but ordinary. He was chosen by a group who is in total agreement. So let's pause right there to give the miracle that that deserves, that there's a group of people who are all in complete agreement. Seriously, this group is looking for a very certain type of person, a person who is full of spirit and full of wisdom, it tells us. So he's chosen with these qualities, but also because he's full of faith. And then it says, because he's full of the Holy Spirit. Now, he's just one of seven chosen. So there's chosen because there's a new ministry. Actually, it's an old ministry, but it's the people who have been doing the same ministry for the same amount of time that just, they need to do something different. They're called into different parts now because actually this ministry is growing. It's a ministry that feeds the widows. So all these different ministries are starting to grow, and there's only this little pool of people who are doing them, and they're going, we need to spread out. So they chose seven different people, but they had really explicit expectations of these people. And so they chose these seven, and this is good. I want us to remember that this is good. Things are growing. And growth is hard because it brings change, and change is hard, but change is good, right? Change brings new people, and it brings new leadership, and that also looks scary. We're facing this right now. But change allows people to come in and do different things. So when we see this ministry as it's changing right now, the ministry of feeding the widows, the same people have done it forever, and now they're about to bring new faces in, and you get to witness new ideas, fresh perspective, new people that now have the opportunity to do something they never had the opportunity to before, would be to serve. Serve is a really great thing. We all have the opportunity and the a capability to serve. We get to serve all sorts of different people. We get to serve one another. I think about this church and how it started with really small steps. It started in a van, right? I mean, yeah, it started at Rampart, but they packed the church into a van. They drove the van to Rampart. They unpacked the van, which was the church, and then they had a church. These people who were packing that van, who probably thought, this isn't that big of a deal, I'm just putting stuff in a van. And there was people who were setting out chairs who were like, it's not that big of a deal, I'm just setting out chairs. But all these things led to really big things, like this building, where we now have 200 high schoolers that come in and have grilled cheese with us once a week. They call it Grilled Cheeses. They gave it that name, I did not. We grilled Jesus. It was actually part of the one of the speeches at their high school graduation. They talked about grilled Jesus and how important it was to them. We have the Russia ministry. We go to Russia twice a year and breathe life into orphans. We have VBS here where we have so many people come in who are rotating through VBSs through the community or are hearing about Jesus for the very first time. This building has allowed so many hearts to be touched by Jesus because somebody started packing a van. It's the small things we do that can lead to really big things. And I think we think that this isn't a big deal. We think that working in the nursery maybe isn't a big deal, or planting flowers, or being an usher, or doing laundry. But all of these things lead up to the church. And what is the church? Is it some crazy person talking to you for an hour? Probably not. It's the service we get to do, right? We get to serve people maybe inside this church so that they can go out and serve others. Or we're bringing people in and we're serving. Service is a beautiful opportunity. We get to be the hands and feet. Luke 16 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So back to Stephen. Stephen is doing his food service thing, right? He's feeding the widows. But he's not like Stevie the waiter that's like waiting for his next big tip. He's actually starting to do really profound stuff in this ministry. It says that he's performing great wonders and signs among the people. So historically, context, Rome is still in control, but the Jewish people have their own council still, okay? There are always haters everywhere, is that right? Always haters. And the leaders of the synagogue really don't like what Stephen's doing. Like, not just a little bit, but a lot. And they, eventually, Stephen becomes the first martyr. So he believed, he held on to what he believed to be true enough to be killed. What does this say about our life right now? As I'm reading this, I'm trying to figure out, how do we put Stephen into 2019 Covenant, Briargate, where we're at? So we need to go back and we look at who Stephen actually is. So we know that Stephen is full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. That's what they were looking for. We also know that he is a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And it tells us that he's a man full of God's grace and power. Not only are these things written about him, but what he does and what he says is who he is. His heart is speaking when his mouth is open. Stephen's last words as he's being stoned to death. Pause for that. He was stoned to death. That is horrific. Absolutely horrific. And his words at that moment are of grace and forgiveness. His words are, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." What are our hearts saying when our mouths are open? Luke in chapter 6, who also writes Acts and tells us about Stephen, Luke in chapter 6, verse 24 says, "A good man brings good things out of good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." This is what I'm saying. The mouth speaks, or the heart speaks when the mouth is open. Jesus is concerned with our hearts. Last week, a beautiful friend asked if they could meet with me. Our family had just come back from camp, and I cleared some time on the calendar. And they sat down, and they dropped a bomb in my lap, a cancer bomb. And this young person who has devoted so much time to ministry is now going to walk this path that was unexpected. And as I listened to this person talk, I got to see their heart. And that's a blessing to me. And it will be a blessing to so many as they go down this road. I got to listen to how they were concerned about others and really not about themselves in this moment. We had laughter through tears. How they wanted to honor Jesus when the last thing they wanted to do was worship Jesus in this moment. But they want to honor him. See, when all the filters come off and we sift everything out, no matter how well-intentioned we are, the heart can't be contained. It just creeps out. And some of us, like me, as I'm writing this out, is like, well, where's the hope in this? Because my heart sometimes isn't in the right place. I always thought this is just who I am. God made me this certain way, and I'm just going to walk down this road, and people may get hurt in the path. Well, I don't really think that's how it goes. I think God created us to be on this ever-changing, always evolving path that we're trying to work to be better at. So how do you change your heart? I think we take moment by moment and pause to see, what is my heart saying right now? There's so many different conversations, and you go, what am I saying? And you pause right there. Is it full of hatred and bitterness and anger, joy, love, happiness? Where's my heart? And that's when the Holy Spirit comes in, because we can ask for forgiveness, we can ask for help, we can ask for transformation. And Jesus wants to have transformation now. I know so many times we wait for transformation at death, because everything changes at death, right? But Jesus wants transformation now. He wants everything. He wants you to work to be for the best you. I want my first response to be for grace and compassion. Each opportunity we have when we're with people in relationship can be a place where we say what's coming from our heart, and a heart that's aiming to be in line with Jesus. Stephen takes his last breath and he prays for them. These are people that we do not like. These are people that we hate. These are people that rub us the wrong way. These are people who argue with us when we know that we're already right. These are those people, and he stops and he prays for them. We are called to do what Stephen did and to love them, to serve them, to show them who Jesus is. And when we're lining our hearts up with God, we get to walk into love in a whole new light. Our hearts get to do the communicating that communicates love, that communicates Jesus, and that communicates grace. Stephen shows us what a heart lining up with God has the possibility to look like.